Conferences. Long agendas, big venues, always on your feet, barely getting to see the people that you want to see, and then, of course, the expense. Well, the three of us at Good Morning Hospitality are launching Good Morning Retreats. Our first retreat is this July 8th through the 10th at the Horst Hospitality Training School in Auburn, Alabama. If you go to goodmorningretreats.com, you'll find out more information about our first retreat that we're launching. We have already filled half the slots. We have 20 available and we have about 13 already filled. So make sure you go there, you apply, show your interest, and we'll get you all situated for our first ever Good Morning Retreat. Thanks so much for tuning into the podcast. And now back to the episode.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Welcome to Good Morning Hospitality, your one-stop shop for the latest news, noteworthy trends, and thought-provoking discussions across the industry. From hotels to short-term rentals to all things travel and hospitality, you'll find each episode equips you with the information that you need to start your week. Join us on Good Morning Hospitality every Wednesday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning.
Man, it is nice to see you. It is nice to see everybody that is joining us on this live. Appreciate, by the way, for joining us at a little bit. I know last week we did a little bit later. Today we did a little bit earlier.
Hey, we're busy people. Things are going on, but we're here for the audience. We show up and bring our best energy.
Exactly. And that early morning energy. Not brought to you by Alani, but brought to you by Alani.
I got to try Alani. I haven't tried that yet. I'm drinking my Biscayne coffee over here.
It is tasty. One of the reasons why we're doing it a slightly different time, I'm going to be heading off on a flight to Costa Rica. And for those that have followed along on my Instagram, I have not been posting that much on LinkedIn because it's been a whirlwind. I was also just in Cabo. And I was in Cabo, by the way, this is a fun little tie-in to LinkedIn. I met the guys that own this company, Destinations by Reliance, and they are starting to put together some really fun trips. They have a really fascinating company, and they put together this awesome trip in Cabo. This is the first one, and got to experience it firsthand, and it was amazing. It was so great.
I saw some of the things you're posting. The place looked great. A lot of good people there.
Oh, man, the hotel.
I got the invite. I'm like, man, it's hard for me to travel with kids and a wife and jobs, but.
And then you're watching my stories and then you're like, ooh, I should have said yes. I should have figured out a way to say yes. Next time we can make something happen. That's why we're doing it a little bit different, but we wanted to, you know, keep it live, keep it real. So
and next week, we've got a special live. Why don't we tell the audience what's going on? Why don't you fill them in?
Mark your calendars. Tell your kids, tell your wife, whatever that's like. Oh my God.
I'll tell my kids and my wife.
Thank you. Perfect. We are going to be live and in person.
In Miami. We cannot keep Sarah away from Miami. She's addicted to it. She's going to be here. And we are going to be at the Biltmore Hotel.
Coral
Gables, the iconic Biltmore Hotel. Beautiful hotel that we will be filming live from.
Exactly. So we'll be at a regular time, but we'll be there. And it's going to be awesome. I'm excited. Always fun doing a live show in person.
It's always great. I'm excited to get you on the 50 hotels in 50 days. Ooh. By that time, we'll be almost wrapped up. It might be hotel 40 by that time. So
I can't wait.
It'll be very exciting.
Ooh, I hope you've got a good one in store, which we will not tell anybody about, but I'll be surprised.
We'll keep it going. We won't tell the Biltmore that we're going to be showing up there because we have to come in unannounced, so we may or may not do it there.
for sure. Cool. Well, we have a lot of awesome topics today. Yes. And we might as well go ahead and dive in. If you guys are joining us on the live, let us know where you're joining us from. I don't know if I'm seeing any comments come in, but that could just be a connection issue on my side, because
and we started a little early, so I'm sure we'll start seeing people pop in here.
Exactly. Get your morning snacks. Come join us. All right. So the first interesting thing that is going on in the world of hotels, IHG just announced that they are going to be launching Apple AirPlay throughout their North American properties. How cool is that?
I love this. Many times that I go to a hotel and then you have to like log in and you put your Netflix or your Disney Plus for me, and then you forget to log out and you're like worried about who's now looking at your account and putting things on there. So now you could just stream through very nicely.
It's awesome. This is so cool. And by the way, this is the first time that Apple has really partnered with any hotel. So they also made the announcement. It's the first hospitality company to just even offer this at all. Super easy. You're going to be able, good afternoon, Kat in London. I will be calling London just after this live. So it'll be nice to be on your time zone, at least on the phone. But I love that you're going to be able to just scan the QR code and on the hotel or go to the hotel's Wi-Fi and just really start streaming. It's super simple.
Yeah, they say you scan a QR code. It takes you right there. You don't have to worry about the privacy issues because everyone has a unique code, which I love seeing. And so for me, big win. I love when hotels start to catch up and start getting new technology in place and start putting things that are very good for travelers. So good job, IHG, because they're always competing with the Marriotts and the Hiltons of the world. I love seeing what you're all doing. They're doing some really cool things. Their hotels now have a good mix.
Great.
Yeah, they're really stepping up. I've always been a fan of Intercontinental hotels, like their, name brand, but they've now invested a lot of money in those hotels. So now they're becoming more and more, say, like to date, they were a little falling behind, I think, but now I love all those hotels that they've
built. They're doing great stuff. And I mean, it's now actually available in more than 60 hotels. So like it's happening. By the way, do you have Apple CarPlay in your car? Or no?
I don't actually have it in my car because like mine is it's a 2018. I didn't have it when I got it. So
that's
now
not an old
new
car
one,
for the record. So you don't have to like,
I know, but I was like, I wanted it.
Oh yeah.
And, but no, I do not. And I'm wondering for all the Android users, it's not many, I think it's like 10% of the users of phones are Android. Are you? You're not. I get blue text from you.
Me?
Yeah, that's Will true. Will Slickers that's is not either true. Our producer in the background. What do you use out there, viewers? Are you Apple or Android? I'm curious to see what you got.
I am Apple. Everything is Apple. My watch, my laptop, my phone, like
same
all
here.
Of it. Yeah, I mean, everything's connected. I can just hand off stuff like super easily. I'm a fan. I'm into it. But I've always been a fan of Apple. Like we had Apple computers like in the 90s, like when it was
that was my college computer too. The cool one that looked like a lamp that moved around. I love that one. I still have it.
A lamp.
We're getting off track. But one other cool thing ISG is doing too is they're starting to weave in AI into their planning and search tools, which any company using AI now, I love it. It makes things so easy. I don't know if you saw it now, but all of Meta's companies, so Facebook and WhatsApp and Instagram, have you been playing with their AI tools that they just forced
everyone?
No,
but I'm worried that I'm going to do a search for something and it's going to go crazy because it's like in the same thing as like the normal search. And I was like, wait, what? But I haven't totally played around with
it
yet.
It's very powerful. I've been doing copying and pasting a ChatGPT versus Llama 3, which is Meta's. And it's very cool. They give some different answers, some unique answers. I love seeing it, especially
so
for hospitality.
Comparing back at, I love
I'm a big ChatGPT user for a lot of things. So for me, it's interesting to see all these different tools, but this one's just right there. So I'm excited to see how it works.
I know. That's going to be awesome. So it's cool. It's cool to see, again, like all of these different properties just adopting different elements of technology. So that's awesome. Similar, but this is another big news in the world of hotels. Marriott actually just celebrated a big milestone in their journey towards becoming net zero. And this is great for especially our sustainability folks. And so many times companies announce that they have sustainability goals, but then to end up reaching them is huge.
Yes.
And so this just happened, I think, like 2 days ago that they...
On Earth Day, I think they announced it. So Earth Day was Monday. So there you go. See, you would travel in the world, but on Earth Day, they made the big announcement that they're going to do this. And I love seeing it because, you see a lot of people, like you said, they talk the talk, but they don't actually walk the walk. And it costs money and investment to get it done. But that's what is really making a difference because hotels are big users of everything. walk through any big resort or convention hotel, you really see like how much garbage is going in and out of there, how much energy they use, how much water is being wasted if they don't have things in place. So I love seeing that Marriott is really focusing on this because they can lead by example and show what's going on.
It's great. And like for just reference, they're actually the largest global hospitality company to basically receive this approval from the Science Based Targets Initiative for both their near term and long term greenhouse gas emissions. So that's huge. That's a really, really, really big deal. And
so they say by 2050, so net zero greenhouse gas emissions across its chain by 2050. I'm excited to see if they can pull this off. I mean, it sounds like a long way away. We'll be maybe in their senior citizen program by that time, but you and I will be able to check on it.
No, totally. And like to give you an idea, like what are the areas they're focusing on? Energy reduction, renewable energy production, purchasing goods with lower carbon footprints, all of that kind of combined together is how they end up getting their net zero. So it's pretty interesting, you know, how they're able to kind of balance it all out.
Yeah, look, some people are searching for it now. You have brands that really focus on it. I mean, first that comes to mind is always One Hotel and Raul Leal's team there. They do a great job across brands. Like,
totally.
They live it. Everything is that way. And there's a lot of other brands like that. And a lot of one-off places that do as well. But when you have Marriott leading the way, everyone else seems to catch up. Like, if they're doing it, let's catch up and do it too. So good job, Marriott.
Yes, good job. All right. Our next topic here. Love this because we talked a couple times about the Michelin ratings
for
hotels. And what's great too is I actually am currently in the midst of looking at and booking some Paris hotels for a client of mine. So I was like, oh, this is just my perfect world. So interesting and curious to hear what you all think. So the Paris Best Hotels, they're a recent sort of It's Shiji Review Pro basically published a report just last Wednesday comparing the Michelin ratings for Parisian hotels. So basically what Michelin rated as the best hotels in Paris versus the average hotel, the scores on travel review sites. So like TripAdvisor, Booking.com, etc. They did the comparison and they found that there was not a lot of overlap. What do you think of this?
I like it a lot because if you go back to look at the Michelin restaurant stars that they give out and the Bib Gourmand Award, which is like for a great place to visit, a lot of them are hole in the wall restaurants and mom and pop type restaurants. And so I was excited to see this when it came out because they're giving the three keys because they give out keys.
Yeah.
They're like some of these, I think they gave a couple, only one in Paris had one, but it was like ultra premium, outstanding hotel. But then you had a lot of hotels that really aren't considered like ultra luxury, but they are great places to stay, whether it was the hospitality or the design or the vibe, because they take all these things into account. It's not just like Forbes where you hit these standards and you do that regularly, you get a Forbes star. This was more about feeling and vibe and things that you can't really put your finger on and study for on answers of the test. So I like it because it gives some of these boutique hotels and places that you may not check out a chance to really stand up.
Also, as somebody who has just in real time been looking at the rates of these properties, it's a very humbling experience. So some, you know, for example, some of these Michelin rated hotels in Paris, granted it's a busy time. Now we're leading up to the Olympics, but you know, their rooms are starting at like 800 euros a night, 1,000 euros a night, more suites. I mean, like at a basic suite, you're looking at 3,500 euros a night. And there are people that will spend that. There's definitely a market for it, but that isn't necessarily for everybody. And so I feel like that makes sense for the Michelin rated stars. That is what they're offering. And that sort of price point. And there's going to be a certain level of expectation when you're paying that much money. For a property versus maybe you're paying something that's more of like 500 euros a night. And you can still have a wonderful experience at these properties that are 500 euros a night, but that just might be more accessible, financially accessible.
I agree. Like hotels right now are crazy prices still. And everyone, especially traveling, I was just looking here in Miami that we haven't got our Michelin rating. They did the Michelin restaurants this week. So everyone got their Michelin stars again here in Miami, which was great to see.
Nice.
So we're waiting to see how the hotels portion comes. And people are really thinking about, like, how do we stand out here? Because if you don't get it and somebody else does, it does make a huge difference in bookings. Right. Oh, and so you see it, like, you get your Forbes 4 or 5 stars versus losing one.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big deal and you can lose a lot in rates. So I'm curious to see how it works in France and how this really pushes demand. And if people are actually care what Michelin is awarding keys, because you've got, you know, the AAA, you've got Forbes, now you've got Michelin. So I'm curious to see. And plus all the Google reviews. I think that's, like, really the standout is, like,
yeah,
what is Google actually saying about these hotels versus this award that they got?
Do you do Google reviews? I do.
That's all I do now. That's, I don't look at any other place because they aggregate everything in one place. And that's the first place I go to. And then I sort by newest so I can see what's going on.
Yeah.
And not by most helpful. So if you're searching, go to Google reviews, search from newest, and you'll really see what's going on in that hotel.
No, totally. I write Google reviews for businesses.
I actually write them. Gotcha.
I leave them. Sometimes try to be a little discreet just because it is, like, my full name out there. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it's also super honest and I figure why not, you know?
Yeah. Something I want to do on the next challenge here, I think, is go to, like, low rated hotels and see if these reviews are actually real and be like, is this a real review or can I bust those reviews and say, hey, it's actually a good place.
Review buster.
Yeah. Review buster coming through.
Oh my God, that's amazing. Well, I mean, reviews can obviously affect so much. So that'll be interesting. I'll definitely be tuning in for that.
Yes.
So switching gears, let's talk about some travel things that are happening. This was kind of
I'm laughing at this one already when I saw that.
So it's this first, and I mean, I'm in California, so I'll take the hit for this. First of its kind, California bill is targeting TSA airport security lines, line cutters, as they like to say. So basically, there's a California bill that's being proposed by state senators, which is ridiculous because, you know, they travel all the time, who for CLEAR. And they're basically against using CLEAR. We've talked about CLEAR before.
I'm a CLEAR user, yeah.
Yeah, I have CLEAR as well, too. Although I will say recently, and I fly Delta almost exclusively today. But I have a digital ID, and that line tends to move faster than CLEAR. But for those that don't know, CLEAR is basically a third-party company that was created – gosh, I'm trying to remember now. It's probably at least 10 years ago, where they had far more advanced technology at the time. And that's how they were able to do the facial recognition or also scan your fingertips, your fingerprints, and streamline the process and get you in faster than even TSA pre-check. But it is a third party. It is actually not a government agency. And in recent months or even in the recent year, it doesn't necessarily make the process of getting in faster. But this particular thing is that they're saying, oh, CLEAR, we need to, like, we can't have companies like CLEAR anymore because it's basically a reminder that you could just pay to cut the line. And I was just like, wait, really? Like, you guys are losing sleep over this?
Yes. It's crazy to me.
It's,
like,
kind of crazy, right?
You're a line cutter. We're going to make some rules here because you guys are being mean to us waiting in here in line. So I don't get it. It's like when you go to Disney or Orlando's Universal, you pay extra for FastPass. Everyone has the capability to go do that if you would like.
Totally.
I know some people don't have enough money maybe to spend on that, but credit cards offer this as a free thing too. So if you sign up for American Express, it's a free service that you can sign up for on American Express if you have American Express cards. I think they got it on Chase and a couple others. So everyone has access to it. It's just a matter of signing up and going to do it. It drives me nuts that we're spending government dollars on line cutters.
Yeah, this seems like a bit of a ridiculous thing that they're trying to push this bill for. And I love that it's like the least you can expect is when you go through the security line at airports, you don't have to suffer the indignity of somebody pushing you out of the way to let the rich person pass you. I was like, bro, you need to calm down. Like, it's not that. I mean, has he ever been to a club? Isn't that what people do? Like, the bottle service people get like
this?
That's
how it works. Right? That's how it goes. But, you know, I'm sure this is also a business thing where CLEAR's making money, maybe the local TSA and government or I don't know how this even comes about.
Actually, now that you said that, because everything comes down to money, it is a third party company. And so they're probably going to push this so that they could either somebody somewhere can charge clear more.
Yep.
To stay there. So that's 100%.
It's all a play. It's all nonsense.
Because at the end of the day, if you're a frequent traveler, you're going to be opting for things that make travel smooth. Like, I don't consider myself an uber wealthy person. And if I have all of this, but that's because I'm constantly at the airport. So yeah, these people need a new bill to focus on.
Well, it's also the same thing as like airport lounges, right? If you just made the whole airport really nice, you wouldn't need the airport lounge to go hang out in.
Totally. Right? Totally. Totally. A great point.
Same thing. Same thing.
Great point. I know. So another topic here, according to new research, even though I don't feel like this is new, but I always love seeing this. Basically, travel is now considered a higher priority over material things. The continued studies keep happening, and they keep finding that people and younger people are just prioritizing travel. And so what was more than a third, so 39% of those who participated in this recent study, the Global Rescue Traveler Sentiment and Safety Survey, say that five times quickly, they indicated that they were prioritizing travel more highly today than prior to the pandemic. And they three quarters, about 75%, regard travel experiences as more important than material things. So 75% of people were like, nope, travel over material things. What are your thoughts on this?
I love this and I live it. And there was a quote in there that I really like that I want to read that says, new car sales have dipped, second home ownership has plummeted, jewelry purchases are down, and travel continues to increase beyond pre-pandemic levels because people are trading off material possessions for passport entry stamps and memories that come with traveling. And I can agree to that. Like we just mentioned, I don't have Apple CarPlay because that actually was a conversation in my house. Like, I could go get that new car, but I'd rather go on this awesome trip for New Year's Eve that we did. Totally. And that's kind of how we're doing things with my kids now, too. Like, hey, do you want to have a giant birthday or do you want to have it a little smaller and be able to go to the theme park or go do this?
Yeah.
And every time now, my kids that are young, I love seeing them. They're choosing the experience over the toy they're going to play with for a day or two.
And then what? And then you're going to have to donate it at some point. It's just more stuff that we don't need more stuff. So I love this. I think it's such a great thing. I mean, even what I do with my family, when I can, I try to treat my mom to a trip. I mean, she has plenty of things. Love her. She got plenty of things. That I will inherit. and so in the meantime, I was like, Mom, I don't need to get you like little knickknacks and stuff like that. Let's just go do something together. Obviously, it's a big discrepancy as far as price and not everybody maybe has that luxury, but you can do different things. You don't have to take them on some exotic trip. You can do something cool, like a cool activity in town. We did a paint experience when she was here. So you can be a traveler in your own backyard. Travel, obviously, as we all know, state of mind, but I love that people are just leaning into this.
Oh, I love it. And I see Suzanne mentioning here that she was just doing a training class where this generation doesn't want to buy a house or a car. They want to explore.
So
I love seeing that. Suzanne, I see that more and more as I go to hotels and talk to teams and people just want that experience. Now, it doesn't have to be at the Michelin key hotels. It could be, but I think like you said, I'm living that too, right? I have these beautiful farms down here in Miami that we don't go to. And I took my kids down there randomly and we're feeding animals and learning about things and tasting different foods. Like, there's things like you said, you can just do in your hometown that have different, unique things going on.
And that's where the memories are created.
Yes. Like great memories.
Totally.
And Suzanne nailed it. Suzanne, I love seeing that you're watching and great job training the future generations down here. She's down here with FIU and in South Florida making an impact.
Suzanne's amazing. Thank you, Suzanne, for joining. Oh,
we haven't met in person yet, Suzanne. We'll have to make that happen. Maybe you come over to Biltmore when we're there.
Ooh, yeah. Biltmore next week. You got an invitation. So make that happen. It's such a great thing. It's not necessarily something that we don't know, but it is really good to see. And when you think about how much it costs to just get into real estate or other things, like why not go experience the world?
I love it.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So moving on with our final little travel topic here, which I love that this was, they did a study on this. So a new study uncovers the U.S. airports with the friendliest staff. And why this like caught my eye is that's what hospitality is.
Yep.
You know, and even though we're thinking about TSA or airports, like that's like part of the hospitality experience. There's a lot going on, but like you definitely want to like you want the whole experience to be positive.
Should I give the top three here that were awarded? Yeah,
give the top three.
Number one, what do you think out there, viewers? It was the number one friendliest airport. It was Portland International Airport.
Woo!
Was awarded as the friendliest of all of the hotels with a 44 out of 50, possible 50 score. Following Portland was Indianapolis, and rounding out the top three was Jacksonville, Florida. And then they got the list here of 10, which has got a bunch of other ones on there. Miami, definitely not make that list. Might get into a fight here in Miami, but I would love to see it get a little bit more friendly, at least crack the top 10. But Tampa was on there, Raleigh, Cincinnati, Nashville, Dallas, Pittsburgh, so some good places.
It's so funny. So it's like I've being somebody that travels a lot, I've been to a lot of these hotels. So actually in 2 weeks, I will be at the Portland Airport. Portland Airport is also known for their famous carpet. So I will post a picture of that.
Oh, cool.
Share that. Yeah, it's been around forever.
What's going on?
No, it's just, it's like
1980s carpet.
Like, yeah, yeah. It almost reminds me of a an 80s roller rink.
Oh,
carpet.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know,
I know exactly.
Like, if you see the picture, you'll be like, oh, I've seen that before. It's like this almost like turquoisey, like green turquoisey color with like red and like yellow, like little like stripes on it, like small stripes. So Portland's awesome. Jacksonville also really great. I haven't been to Indianapolis. John Wayne, which is right here in Orange County. I mean, it's super small, intimate. I was just in the Pittsburgh airport 2 weeks ago. Everybody was super nice there. Nashville, by the way, Nashville is a great airport. I am a big fan. They've got it going on. It's just, it's clean. It's up to date. They've got lots of like great food options there. I was just in Dallas, Love Field. Tampa is also great. Tampa has
Tampa's good
with the, flamingo, right?
Yeah. Giant flamingo. They got artwork, nice sky trains, a lot of cool stuff at the Tampa one. I've been there a bunch. instead of asking what's the least friendly. Ooh, I don't know, but somewhere in New York probably would be my guess.
Oh,
every time I go there, no one's nice.
You know, it depends. Like sometimes, like I'll have more challenges in smaller airports. You know, as far as just they're like
overwhelmed.
They're either overwhelmed or whatever, and it's like, yo, bro. Like, I always find it interesting to see where I set off the metal detector because I wear very much, you know, the same thing whenever I go to travel. So it'll be funny where it's like, I don't set off the metal detector in Los Angeles, but then I'll set off the metal detector in another airport randomly, just because whether it's my Apple Watch or I have a bracelet.
We need TSA to pay attention. Sarah's flying and setting off alarms, TSA, at certain airports and not others.
It happens. I'm like, go ahead, scan away. I need a female assist over here.
Yeah, you're going to have to make your own list. That's what the viewers are saying. You got to make your own list that we can have here for next week. So your top 10, because you're all over the place.
We could definitely work on that. Okay, real-time recap. Oh, wait. Well, hold on. What's Suzanne said? She wrote this. I do fly a lot. You are correct, Suzanne. the crazy deal with TSA closing at 8 a.m. And small airports. If your flight's delayed, you can't get through in time. Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Not good.
I don't know. Staffing issues, I guess.
Probably.
Yeah.
No bueno. But
I know. Definitely crazy. Okay. We're right in time for our real-time recap. What have you seen in the world? Just in the world in general. It could be hospitality. It could be other things. What's been on your radar in this past week?
Well, again, like, you know, I'm visiting hotels every single day. So it's took up a lot more time than I thought, but I'm glad I have this time to go see what's going on. And I want to give a shout out to the Mayfair Hotel in Coconut Grove, Florida.
Okay.
A beautiful hotel. You feel like you're stepping into a different world, and the team is ultra nice. As I was walking through there, they actually saw me filming, and they were like encouraging me to like, hey, check this out and check out this new Moki car we have for rent. Like, they didn't know who I was. They're like, hey, take a look at this. Like, the staff was just being genuinely nice. Which is always great. So great job to the general manager, Reese, at that hotel. He's doing a fantastic job.
Well, especially I love that because, you know, if they have something that's like Instagram friendly or like really like you want people to take photos of it. So I do find it interesting.
This hotel crazy these days. Yeah, I'm going.
Yes.
I told you this 50 days and 50 hotels in 50 days is a.
What number are you at?
I'm halfway through today. 25.
Woo.
Halfway through. Ooh-wee. Chugging along.
Ooh-wee. All right. So my real-time recap. I was just in Cabo for those that have followed along on my adventures. And I got to stay at this really cool hotel, which I knew of, but I had never experienced. And it's called Hotel El Gonzo. And it's such a cool property. So it's, I guess, technically like a 4-star property. Oh, goodness. The most comfortable beds I think I've ever, I think they actually might be the most comfortable beds I've ever stayed in. Whoa. And I've stayed in a lot of beds. Yes. It was like sleeping in the middle of like 2 fluffy pancakes. It was just crazy. And so everything I know, right. It was the best.
Wait, do you like soft mattresses, firm mattresses? What are you a fan of? Like when you're, I want this kind of mattress. What kind?
Oh, no. I like firm mattresses, but you've got a firm mattress and then, you know, you've got like a little bit of like a, you know, the
Tempur-Pedic
feather
style.
Bedding. Feather bedding and then like a duvet on top. And then it was just like the right temperature. Oh, I took apart the bed, by the way, and took a picture of it so I can figure out a way to replicate it at home. I was totally doing that. But the property is amazing. It's super art inspired and music inspired. So every room was designed by a different artist and it was just fun and it was playful. It is totally the type of hotel that I would say. And of course, obviously the staff was so friendly. The food was great. Like I have nothing but incredible things. I was like, can I move in? I'll just like make content for you every single day and just tell everybody to come and stay here. But small 60 room hotel and they are just, yeah, but they're killing it. And definitely small for Cabo standards because you do have a lot of big resorts.
Yeah.
Which are wonderful. But this was far more intimate and it just had a vibe. That like, I just wanted to bottle up and just, oh, so cool. Oh, they even had a recording studio. So they,
in the recording studio, we talked about that. That's cool.
Right. Love this. So
that is very cool. I have to check it out. I'm getting more and more into boutique hotels now. As I've been traveling around and seeing some of these hotels that do it really well. Mm-hmm. There's certain times I want a resort where I don't have to leave and have to worry about stuff. But like, there's something about some great boutique hotels that you really feel like you're kind of at home if you find the right.
And by the way, I love that you bring that up because we had two hoteliers that own many hotels. They're actually part of the AHOA group.
Hey, Jeremy.
I won't say them here. I won't say good morning or afternoon, Jeremy. Thanks for joining. We started early, so don't worry. So we had a couple of hotel owners come. And, you know, they own, you know, different types of properties, you know, whether it's Marriott, Hilton's, Embassy Suites, those type of properties. Definitely. And they were like, oh, what an eye-opening experience. And for people that have owned many hotels for many, many years, decades even, they were like, I'm into this whole boutique hotel situation. So it was cool to see them having this realization and they're thinking like, how can I add some more boutique hotels to our portfolio? Because they really enjoy it. So that was neat to see. And I was like, you don't have to convince me. I'm like, I'm already there. I'm on the boutique hotel bandwagon. Like, I'm all for it.
I just want to warn people here that are doing boutique hotels. I've been in some hotel. I don't post these because I don't want to ever make anyone look bad, but they're buying stuff like off of Wayfair and IKEA and putting it in their lobbies. Don't do that because it makes your hotel, you buy IKEA stuff, you get IKEA prices. Some unique things that you can put in there. Even if you're buying it off Facebook Marketplace, some decent things, if you're trying to save money, that give it some personality and character. Boutique hoteliers, give your place some character, some warm feeling. Don't go buy what's sitting in Target right now.
Totally.
Sorry. Really, I just saw it. I saw this happen. I was like, man, I wanted to share your stuff, but you cannot.
But no bueno. Kat was saying, could you repeat the name again? Yes, it is Hotel El Gonzo. I will write it in the afterwards.
Muppet Gonzo? Yeah.
I think Gonzo was technically with an O, but El Gonzo, Ganzo. By the way, also right across the way, so you would have to take a little boat to the beach club. I'm sorry, I'm going to just sing their praises, but I was really so obsessed with them. So you take a little boat across the tiny marina that it's on to the beach club. And then there was this really cool restaurant that was called Crania right over there that had this like Burning Man sort of feel. You think it's just going to be a club and you're like, okay, we get it. Some of the best food I've had. They had these basic Michelin trained chefs. All right,
how much are they paying you today? How much they pay
you? They're not. It was just like that utterly incredible of an experience. So
I love it. If you're saying that, that means it's definitely worth checking out because you go to so many cool places.
Wow. So if we're not connected on Instagram, head over there. I'm going to be sharing a lot of video recaps of the experience because I can't talk about it enough. But it was wowzers. So. Wow, we're going a little bit longer here today, but that's all right. Our hospitality quote, Will, what do we got going on here? You can put it, okay, perfect. So would you like to read this?
I'm going to read the whole quote. Hospitality is all about relationships. Your relationship with your coworkers, management, guests, and vendors. Positive relationships are imperative to being a successful hospitality professional. And that comes from a book that I know, Hospitality from Within, by author. Who's this author? I don't know her.
I don't know either.
Sarah Dandashi, top-selling author, Amazon Award winner, and friend of Good Morning Hospitality.
I'm just a friend of Good Morning Hospitality. That's it, just a friend. I show up every so often. yeah, no, but I don't know. Obviously,
so when you wrote that, what were you thinking about?
Just like how everything that we do in the world of hospitality all comes down to relationships. And it is not just our interactions with our guests, but it is our interactions with management. We've all been in a situation where we don't have a good relationship with management.
Yes.
How challenging is that? Our vendors, your vendors, you know, especially, you know, as a concierge, the vendors that we use are an extension of our service. So, you know, that when your guest is having an experience with somebody, that it's an extension of what you're bringing to the table. So it's so important to have these strong, powerful, positive relationships, because as we all know, hospitality is a small world. You can go from one place to another. Your paths will cross again. And that's just the key to success, is to just like, you have to play well with others. I mean, it's really the key, I think, to any industry, but definitely hospitality, our emotional experience industry that we are. So that's where that came from.
No, I think that's great. And I just posted this last night after talking to someone in a hotel that was having a rough time with their boss. And I said, like, you got to limit who you're surrounding yourself with that are bringing that negativity, because people who are constantly complaining, they lack kindness, they fail to support your dreams. They're not seeing the glasses full. You don't want to be around those kind of people. They really drag you down. Yeah. And there's plenty of places to work. So if you're in that kind of position right now, go find somewhere else to work. It's okay. Go find something that you deserve.
Change is so hard, especially, you know, like when you're at a hotel that you're like, oh my gosh, but I love this hotel, or it's such a highly rated hotel and I can't believe I'm here. But you know, if the atmosphere is not quite right, you need, like, your whole life will change if you are in a supportive environment. I was in a hotel that was very difficult to be in for a lot of different reasons. Love the property, but it was challenging for me at the time. And then I ended up elsewhere and I was able to flourish in such a different way. And so, I mean, we all know that, but making that change is scary, because you're like, oh, will I make enough money? Will it be as cool? Will I like the guests? Whatever it is. Do I have to start as low man on the totem pole with the schedule? I get it. Like, but
miserable though.
No, don't be miserable. Exactly. Brighter things are.
See, you made a good choice. And it all led to you hanging out with me every Wednesday here.
I know. Hey.
Good Morning Hospitality.
Who knew that decision 13 years ago would make such a difference? But it does. It really does. Whew. I feel like I'm out of breath from that conversation.
What a show. We threw a lot out here today. A lot of great things. Yeah. I think your life more than anything. She's getting on another plane today. So if you just came in, she just landed last night, leaving this morning. I wish you all the best on your flight. I'm excited to see what it looks like in Costa Rica, right?
Costa Rica. Yes, I'll be in Costa Rica. So it was just in Mexico. We'll be in Costa Rica. I've already repacked. We're good. We're good. But we'll definitely be fun.
I hope you enjoy it. And for everybody that tuned in today early, thank you for doing it. We always love interacting with you. Make sure to like, subscribe, and send to your friends. And we'll see you next week.
Next week in person. Yeah.